I have one last comment on the question of homosexuality. Now, Pat has a debate in the morning on the question of homosexuality. That's not tonight. I just want to make that clear. You can say that in the morning. I have made my position, I think, extremely clear. I married a woman. I don't want a man to invite me to be his wife or husband, because I married a woman and I'm satisfied with that. Now, so I don't need to say anything else about that subject. Listen, I said in the outset that I'm a parable preacher. And just before I use my time with another parable, I do need to do this. Before you all leave, I'm saying, he didn't quote a single scripture. Let me just deal with that for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the women prayed in the assembly. Howbeit, they had their heads covered. But they prayed. And I don't think there's any dispute about that. They prayed. Their heads were covered in respect to their husband. But they did, in fact, pray. And then let's look at Joel 2:28. It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. In Acts 2, Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Whatever that was spoken by the prophet Joel, Peter said, this is it. This is what? This is that. What was that? Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. This is that. This is that. What is this that? What was that? Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Then, of course, the Bible talks about Philip having daughters who prophesied. Question is, where did they prophesy? I don't know. And he doesn't either. But they prophesied. Then there's another instance where Priscilla and Aquila took Apollos to the side and taught him the way more perfectly. And I think it's interesting that Priscilla's name was mentioned first, the woman's name. Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla and Aquila. Well, he said, well, they taught one man. Well, I mean, what are you going to say? Is it right to teach one, but not right to teach two? If it's right to teach two, is it wrong to teach three? If it's right to teach three, is it wrong to teach four? I ask you to leave your car out there, but not your brain. Take this journey of common sense with me. What makes sense to you tonight? What? Let me share with you a parable. Now, I said a parable means to throw alongside that which is unfamiliar, that which is familiar, so that which is unfamiliar can become familiar. You throw that which you don't understand alongside that which you do understand, so that which you do that you don't understand, you will understand. I was at church once where 80% of the members were black and 20% of them were white. All of the positions of authority were held by the whites, even though they represented only 20% of the membership. The song leader was white. The preacher was white. The elders were white. The deacons were white. The man who made the announcements was white. Even the ushers were white. Those who served the Lord's Supper were white. The ones who took up the money were white. The blacks, though they made up 80% of the congregation, gave 80% of the money, were not allowed to count it, to bank it, or account for it, even though one of them was a banker. She just happened to be a woman. The blacks were allowed to teach the blacks only if there was a white man present. And if a white man came in, however unqualified he was, the black person could have been the most qualified, but they happened to be black by no choice of their own, just as a white man was white by no choice of his own, and yet the black person had to stop teaching because a white man had just walked into the assembly. That was an exception. If there was a dead body in the church, if there was a dead body in the church, funeral, the blacks could usher. They could seat the people. They could even get up in the pulpit and they could have remarks. They could praise this dead body. But they could not stand in that same pulpit and praise the living Christ. They could teach each other, but they couldn't teach whites. Here's my point. Women, at least, in the congregations for which I'm familiar, make up at least, and sometimes more, than 80% of the membership, and give 80% of the money. They can't count it. They can't account for it. They can't bank it. Why? Women. They happen to be women. They can't read a scripture. Why? They happen to be women. Well, is that their fault? No, but they just happen to be women. I have been discriminated against all of my life because of my color. Not because of my education or lack thereof, but because of my color. Something for which I am not responsible. Why then should I turn around and discriminate against a woman because of her gender, something for which she is not responsible? It is wrong. And I promise God and anybody else who will listen that I won't ever do it again. And other people can do what they want to do. It's their choice. But for me, it is a sin. It is wrong, and I don't care how many scriptures you come up with to try to justify something you've already decided to do. Men didn't say, you know what? The Bible says we've got to do this to women, and we've got to have a special place for them, a special role for them, to separate apart from the roles that we have assigned to ourselves. That's why we got to do this. That's not the way it happened. They decided that first, and then they've gone to the Bible to try and justify it. Let me say this. Revelation is perfect because it is of God. And God is perfect. But interpretation is of man and is imperfect because man is imperfect. Now, we are all things human before we're anything religious, Hindu, Christian, Muslim, or Jew. We're all things human before we're anything denominational. We're all things human before we're anything racial, white, black, brown, red, or yellow. We're all things human before we're anything gender, male or female, and in this human context, there are needs that we all have. Water to quench our thirst, food to satisfy our hunger, shelter to protect us from the elements, the cold of winter and the heat of summer. We're all things human before we're anything else. And there are needs that are common to us all. We all need to love somebody and to be loved by somebody. So we may be in different racial and religious and even gender boats, but we're all sailing in the same human ocean. And we can either spend all of our time trying to sink each other's boats because we're not like somebody else, or we can all sail lovingly toward the love boat, where we can embrace each other in an atmosphere of mutual respect and love, where these differences of which we are not even responsible make no difference. And we can all bow down to Jesus as Lord and let Him take care of it. I have chosen to sit on the love seat with Him and not on the judgment seat with God, because it's not big enough for me and God. It's only big enough for Him. And so I have decided to sit on the love seat with Jesus and treat everybody, including women, like He treated them. He didn't even treat them like His own disciples treated them. You do remember when He was talking to the woman at the well. His disciples had gone to get something to eat, and when they came back, they found Him talking to this woman. And in those days, you just didn't talk to a woman unless her husband or some other man was there. But when they found Him talking to this woman, they were disturbed. They didn't like it. And she knew they didn't like it. So she had dropped a pot, water pot, and went on back to town. And when she got back to town, she was obviously first missionary. Anyway, she got back to town. She told everybody, not about them, but about Him. Another woman came and she fell down at His feet, and she took some precious oil, and she washed His feet and then dried them with her hair, and because she was a woman of the street. Simon the Pharisee condemned her and told Jesus, "You must not know who this is." He said, "No, you don't know. This ain't about you anyway. It's about Me. It's not about how you treat anybody. It's how I treat them. This is not about you. It's about Me." Now, before you're told, well, you know, Jesus had 12 disciples and they were all men. They were all Jews too. Does that mean that a Gentile can't go preach? Now let me deal with the elder thing right quick. Now if you say by definition elder has to be the husband of one wife, then no, a woman can't be an elder. But if you ask me whether or not a woman can do the work of an elder, the answer to that is yes. What does an elder do? Teach. What does an elder do? Teach. What does an elder do? Teach. Can a woman teach? They teach all the time.
2 minutes.
All the time. I want to close this section with, I was in Fresno, California, and I lived with one of the elders while I was there, College Church of Christ, a large white congregation there. And near the end of my stay, the elder said, "Brother Rose, I just need to share something with you." And he told me a story. Story of a young girl and her brother. I don't recall the names at the moment, but the boy was, I think, 7 and the girl was 8. And one of the deacons came to the little boy and said to him, "You want to usher with us today? And you want to help us with the offering?" And he said, "Yes." And he got down off the seat and followed the deacon. And then the little girl tugged on her daddy's shoulder and said, "Daddy, why I can't do that?" He said, "What? Why I can't do that? Why does he get to do it all the time? Why don't Jimmy get to do it all the time? Why I can't do that? I know how to walk. Why I can't do that? He said, because girls just don't do that. She said, why? Girls just don't do why, Daddy, why? So he just let the conversation go. Say, I don't want to hear any more about that. They went home. Sure enough, at dinner time, he asked Jimmy to pray. The little girl said, well, Daddy, there you go again. You always ask Jimmy to do it. Why I can't do it? And let me tell you what happened. That elder told me that girl grew up, and when she became of age, she went to another church where she could do that.